call to order the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education work session. Today is February 27th, 2024. The time is 5:30. Jamie, could we have roll call, please?
Dr. Behrens.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Van Wachenova.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Here. Could we stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Discussionary items, that would be you, Mr. Shaw.
All right, so we'll go ahead and get started tonight with our budget amendment. So, Cassie, it's all yours.
So at this time, we're just doing an amendment to the general fund. We will have a final amendment in June for all the funds, including the general fund again. Gonna start off with some historical information. This is our per pupil foundation allowance, and this year it came in at $9,608 per pupil. As you can see, it's been on the rise, as the majority of you, if not all of you in this room, are aware of from the conversations at the state level. And this is our general education K-12 fall student FTE historically, which is not a surprise to anyone in this room that it is still on a downward decline. We're not the only district facing that at this time. And these numbers are from our state aid status reports, which pull the information from the pupil accounting reporting system.
That's saying again what? Fall student.
That's our fall general education student count. FTEs. It's not head count, it's FTE count based on the courses that they're enrolled in.
Based on the count?
Yes. So we get the $9,608 times that 4,426.26.
Tell you what, Larry, remember when Ken Lopp talked about that? They brought in that company and they showed that. They were pretty close.
Yeah.
Yep.
I do believe that, God, it's true.
Yeah,
scary, but at that time we had, over 6,000, like 7,000 kids.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, watch your head.
The next slide is the statewide fall pupil count, which also has been showing a decline statewide, which is no surprise to anyone. And then this is our retirement rate history. So for every dollar that we pay in staff member wages, currently the most common retirement rate is 31.34%. So for every dollar we pay that much on it. And in addition, we would have to pay FICA as well. So we're in the neighborhood of 40% just in FICA and retirement that we have to pay for every dollar that we pay in wages. That wouldn't include those that we offer health insurance and have an expense to, because obviously there's not a flat number for that. But that's just to keep in mind as we're talking about staffing. It's not just the wage that we're paying them. There's other expenses that come along with having staff.
And this is a sustainable rate of increase?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's determined by the state of Michigan, and it is anticipated to continue to increase.
I think the only pension that I know of that has an annual cost of living in it.
I'm sorry?
Cost of living. The only pension I know of.
Well,
no, this
if
does.
On the,
is that
two different ones, right? There's basic and.
It's still it all. Still
does.
And that's what's causing the increase?
No.
Oh.
No, it's just, they do.
Just a side note, right? Thank you.
They do
got it.
A huge actuarial projection of the return and everything. It's very complex, and I don't pretend to understand how they develop those numbers. But
now, of course, Darla, you have to remember that. Who else is on this pension is a state legislature.
On
just thought I'd throw that in there.
On the school pension?
No, it's a state pension.
Oh,
but it's a separate. The school employees is separate, but together. I understand what you're saying. And this next slide is some of the assumptions we made when creating the budget, which is our foundation allowance, which I discussed. And I apologize for not updating my FTE on the to the number that I showed earlier. And you levy 18 mils against your non-principal residence property and 6 mils on commercial personal property. We assume our current contract obligations, including the settled wage reopeners from last year that continued into this year. Our base retirement rate is 31.34%, and that was effective in October. And then the health insurance hard caps increased 4.1% effective in January. And on a note on the retirement, there's about 10 different plans a staff member can be in depending on when they were hired into the system. So that is just one of the many. It's the most common currently.
You mean health plans?
The retirement plan.
Just the retirement plans.
The hard cap is just for the medical insurance. And it varies depending on what kind of plan that they're in. And this slide overviews at a high level the original budget that was adopted in the end of June. Because I can talk today. And what I am proposing to be adopted as of today. There was a reduction in our property taxes, but our state revenue went up, and we did have a decline in our federal source revenue, which was mostly related to SR3, because at the end of June, I didn't know for certain yet what we had spent, so that was an anticipated decline. And then there is increases in instruction and district support, and the reduction in other for expenditures is also related to that SR.
On the instructional capacity, is that due to increases in salary? Let's see.
It would be some would be increases in salary. Instruction would be anyone for our general education, added needs, voc ed. It would encompass anybody that's in the classroom.
Is that kind of where it came from?
Most likely increases in staff and other expenditures. We did have some new classroom furniture for the additional lower class sizes we had in the lower L and some other things. So I'm going to go through some of the high level increases and decreases in a moment.
And the district support services, is that primarily staffing?
For the most part, there's lots of other, it encompasses a lot of things. So the support services is pretty much everyone else and any other department that's not in the classrooms. So that's a lot.
We just didn't anticipate needing that many when the original was done, or kind of what?
There were changes in grant funding, and we did add some additional, we were able to hire some additional RBT positions and that. So there was things that I didn't know at that time. And then with vacancies that we had open, we projected kind of a mixture of who was going to be hired in, but then obviously when we hire someone, then that wage is
individual.
So there was changes from what I projected to who we were actually able to hire with their experience.
Because I thought I remember the conversation where, and this may be relatable or not relatable, feel free to share, where the board approved X number of positions, and those positions are what are allocated under a budget. So are we talking about those positions that were filled that were anticipated or new positions that were created? I think we talked about
this too. It's a mixture of both, of differences between what I had projected and knew about at the end of June and what has actually happened. Because obviously in June,
so there were positions that were filled at the time.
Correct. And then I just
but
had
they were
a placeholder estimate of what someone coming in would make, but depending on the level of experience, it didn't necessarily match what I had projected.
Right.
Because, you know, I didn't know we would hire someone on an MA Step 5. I estimated a VA Step 2.
Oh, well, that's
so
understandable.
You know,
it just wasn't new positions that were generated and created. They were open. That was my only question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we also didn't have the final allocations for our title funds, which was a big part of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I can't estimate what we're going to use it on if I don't know what our allocation is and exactly when we're going to use it.
Right. Thank you.
Some of the major increases were our changes in state aid. Section 31A at risk had an increase in the funding. We were able to, they continued the Section 31AA mental health, but they enveloped some of the security grants that they had in previous years under Section 97. We had an increase in our CTE added costs. We did get an award for the CTE equipment grant again this year. We had our adult ed Section 107 deferred funds, which that is, they call it deferred, but it's like carryover of unspent adult ed funds from the previous year. And then there also was an increase in overall adult ed funding. We had a small expenditure for here too that came through. And anything in
what's that? Call it here too.
That is one of the COVID grants. There was just a little pocket that we hadn't spent yet. And I wasn't aware of until Kevin Walters from MDE reached out and let me know that, you know, you have this money to spend, you can spend it by X date, and we were able to allocate from some of our summer semester to use those funding.
So the total funding for that?
Yeah, this will be the final, if that one is done, and ESSER 2 is done as well. At the end of June, when we had the original budget, I didn't know how much of ESSER 2 we were actually spending. So that was our final bit of that. And then our changes in our title allocations. And we did also get an increase in our ARP Homeless 2 grant and a small increase in our special education tax through the ISD. And anything in green here also has a corresponding expenditure increase. Our conservative eyes on budget matches our grant funds, so our grant revenues match our grant expenditures.
So is all COVID money done besides ESSER 3, or we still got pockets of things all over the place?
ESSER 3 is, knock on wood, the last one that we have remaining.
Okay.
Our homeless 2 was also a part of COVID funding, but that ends in September as well, next year, September. We did have a decrease in our property taxes just based on changes in values.
Wait, I'm sorry, Cassie. You mean September 2024 or September 2025?
24.
Okay.
Yeah, because it is 2024.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay, sorry.
And the Renaissance Zone property that was in Frenchtown, City of Monroe, that has ended as of last levy. That was the old Lazy Boy. It originally was split between Frenchtown and Monroe, and then they parceled it off so it was all under one jurisdiction. But as of 2024, that's no longer considered a Renaissance Zone, so we don't get that additional money through the state.
I think that line went like right through the property.
Yeah, it did. It really did.
I mean, literally.
And then our Section 97 security grant, that is adjusting it for actually what we had carried over into this year. And we had a small decrease in our early literacy. And then the ESSER 3 is adjusting for what we actually already spent and adjusting it to what we have available to spend this year. And the technology millage did go down slightly.
Due to property tax decrease?
Right. And that's all related to property tax.
It wasn't that much.
No, nothing has been adjusted for DTE. It's just other property.
Really?
They haven't finished that tax rate.
Well, the units are still running for what, 2025 at DTE?
I know.
Oh, they are?
There was conversations.
Four units are still, and they're going to pull two offline.
I was thinking they were trying to bump them off sooner.
We had a meeting over a year ago with the city, and there was not anything that had been finalized yet.
They're still trying
to
figure out.
Even when that occurs, we'll be made whole with the state on the changes in property value. That's why you saw that decrease in property taxes, and there was still some increase in our state.
Wasn't April 1st 30% to 40% tax increase on homes and auto? That's what the auto insurance guy is telling us.
It is, but it doesn't really affect us because
And these expense increases, everything in green is the same thing you just saw on the revenue increases. We did have some increases for substitute teachers because we did hire some more of those 2-6-52 a day teachers to fill while they're in a program. And we have had several staff members out on maternity leave or other medical leaves that has caused that to rise a bit. And then our decreases are the
same. That's an increase for a year?
For what I'm estimating right now, yes. And then these decreases.
Mental math is happening.
And the decreases, everything in green is what you saw on the previous slide for the revenue decreases. And then we did lose quite a few speech therapists, and Cindy worked on an agreement with the ISD that they're providing the majority of those services. So that was a big chunk that was out of our expenditures. And that is all I have.
Just a little footnote to that, just so you know. The speech therapy that we were able to obtain from outside vendors was all going to be Zoom. And we could not, for the life of us, I'm still getting things to this day that they mostly want Zoom because they can, it's much easier for them.
They can service more and leave on time.
Exactly, because they can do a group. Mm-hmm. But that's why the ISD had extra people because they had extra people. They had four extra that didn't want to lose the money and come over to Monroe because we paid just a little less. But it worked out to have them do the speech.
They were doing speech, though.
They were supplementing here, right? They were doing the preschool speech.
Right.
And then the cross-cat room speech. But now they're doing all of our speech.
And they have sufficient to meet the needs? Because that was a thing that's been talked about many times.
And we do still have, what, maybe three on staff?
Yes.
By us.
Under four, I know for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even with those changes, my projected ending fund balance is still 10.52%. So would I like it a little higher? Of course, but it's not considering where we're at. My initial budget from the end of June showed us at a 7.3% fund balance. So with all the changes, they were pretty well even between revenues and expenditures with some other grants. And there will be another update because as Terry and David can attest, we're always being sent information on new grant opportunities. And until we know if we're gonna get approved or have the funding and what we're permitted to spend it on, we can't in good faith present that as part of the budget until for sure.
So the fund balance will be what, 8 million?
Yeah, 8.3 million is what I'm projecting.
It's just interesting that all of like the summer programs and all this stuff that got implemented as a result of getting all this additional money, you know, you always look at your budget and say, what happens when that money goes away? Like, where does the pickup? I know federal funds are probably going to go up. I'm guessing that's what
happened. We're hoping, I think, with some of the other grant opportunities to help supplement. We always keep some of our summer programs in our Title I funding. We can use some of that risk if we need to.
So there's no questioning on the viability of those programs
whether
going
to be able to continue the summer program? No.
No.
We would absolutely, and then we need it in our area for our students to have that opportunity available.
Yeah. I agree, you just need the money to pay.
Yeah.
And so what it was is that the only federal money that sits out there that's going away is ESSER III that we're using to help fund summer program. Going back, we'll go back to our 31A, we'll go back to our Title I to help to fund the program in the future. So and when we think about it in terms of ESSER funds coming in and it's supporting staff wages, it doesn't. It doesn't do anything during our regular school year supporting anything like that. So when ESSER runs out, we're not cutting positions because none of our budget is built on that. We're just using those monies the other way.
We turn the air conditioning off.
Turn it off?
What? Turn it off. Turn it down.
I don't know, it's just blowing on me, but that is numbing cold.
As I say, and that, the vents have been blowing cool the whole day. It's not air conditioning, and it's not heat, because yesterday morning it wasn't pushing heat.
No, it was not.
Yeah, it was a little chilly.
I just would like not to freeze. I'm okay being cold.
I'm ready.
I know. I didn't wear a long enough.
Did anyone else have any questions before we?
I washed a coat.
Can I just ask a tangent question to this? So Cindy, when we were talking about the ISD providing speech through Zoom, when those students are getting the small group instruction for speech.
They don't do it by Zoom.
They don't.
No.
They come in person.
It's our
right.
Other
vendors. It's the other vendors.
Thank you.
The only thing that they could provide for us was Zoom, and it's not changing.
Okay, good.
No, the ISD is in person.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe that would be like chitter chatter.
Yeah.
Pitter patter.
That other one, better speech.
Better speech.
It was coming to me.
But that was when that whole speech thing was going on with the ISD and people, you know, that was a big mess. So that's what sent the search.
Mm-hmm.
But right, I agree with you. Zoom and speech?
No.
I'm
especially,
not even sure
no,
how you.
Especially
I have no idea how you do that.
The younger students
yeah.
that sometimes need
that was just good money going
out. Do pee.
That.
I want to feel the pee. Pee, pee, pee.
Yeah, no.
It's true. That's how you do it, Andy.
You know. You
can
pick another lighter, though.
No. What'd you say?
He's talking about me to pick another lighter.
Oh. Sorry.
Sorry.
Tea.
How
about tea?
All right, moving on. Sorry.
Sometimes
we... Okay, so our next one is the strategic plan. So our last meeting we had two different vendors in here, and tonight I'd like to talk specifically about Hanover. I do have, if you have questions, I do have the ability to bring them in through a Teams call. They're sitting out there just waiting, and when I say they're sitting out there, they're sitting in
outside
the wherever they're at. I can join in if we have questions. I do have to apologize. I thought after we finished our last meeting, I got some documents. I thought I pushed those out to you, and I'm looking at it, and I see that I had not. I'm going to show you some of these right here. And so documents you're going to be receiving from Hanover is this first report, representation by group. So they were showing, okay, this is just a report that we would be able to look at right here and their scope. And so it's a success and outcome. So it shows like our different groups that we might have and are they at, under, or over in their achievement areas right there. Then again, they break down into that GPA area, getting in there, even looking at proficiency on state assessments, looking even eligible. So they're one of the things that they're able to do is just that deeper dive into the academics, and this is like I said, just a high level report that we could start to begin to look at. The one I wanted to really kind of show you was this last one right here. So we start to look at, and this one right here, this is a 57-page document that can be provided to us once we go into work with them. And so it starts to look at, okay, description right here. So like 2018 SAT Digest. This is actually from one of their schools. They had a scorecard, AP test summary results, curriculum audit. So it gets into what is those focus areas, and so then you go in here and there would be literally a report. So it gets into when we were talking in the past as far as what is that we're trying to focus on, what are the data points showing us, is are we having growth in that area or are we not having growth in that area? And so this company right here has that ability to come alongside of us and to actually help us do those kinds of level of dig. So it's not just like we talked about before, survey work with the community, it's also though hitting the key items that we're talking about attendance, we're talking about graduation rates, we're talking about student achievement. That's the depth that they can get into right here of showing this in there in a report format. So that when we talk about, you know, you set 3 to 4 or 5 different goal areas, there's benchmarking that happens and strategies to make sure that you're either achieving it. So what I did was I went back to them, and remember they had different cost models and all this stuff, and I said, I asked them for just a straight up approach to what it would look like over the next 5 years. And year one is, it's going in and doing the strategic plan, which is the focus groups and the consultation. It's really the in-depth work to help build the plan, write the plan. That's $110,000. In that $110,000 is the survey. So if they're sending, like, for example, I'm gonna, number four down here I'm gonna talk about, we have 20,000 residents in our community. So doing a mailing out to 20,000 residents, they're covering that cost as part of their $110,000. That's not us, not us. Where the other, our other person right there, they're gonna cover, they had, you know, $15,000 that they were doing for the work. We're still on the hook for the cost of the mailer that have to go out. So that's taking care of all that focus work, the writing of the plan, and then, and that's a six, seven month process. It's not a fast turnaround, because they're pulling on data points there. Year two is at $100,000. And then year two, the reason it's at that number is it's a coming back in, and you actually have that personal one-on-one approach. So think of it like we're doing a lot of our coaching models. It's 2 years, so it's like coaching up where you've got 2 years, we've got the sustained person right here working alongside of you. And then those last 3 years is the $50,000 mark, and that's just you have a consultant that they're there, but it allows us to continue to do the research projects. And you have that ability, as we were describing before, to do in the first year two research projects, and then every year after that, one research project each year. And so, for example, one of those research projects that as we were looking at and we were showing like our FTE loss is really what is making that FTE loss happen in our school district. Is it the housing? Is it less births? Is it, because again, it's not kids moving out due to school of choice. I mean, we lost six students last year to school of choice that were in our system the year prior. So what is it that's happening in Monroe? And then followed up with, what are some tactics on how to grow it? And I'm not going to go too far there, but because I've got a presentation, I want to do more about some meetings I've been having to try and help figure out how to change what we do here in our school system and community to help grow population so that we don't always have to look at less students, okay, coming into our system. There. So this company right here is, as I shared before, it's a very robust program, and it's one that would bring forth not only the data, but the expertise and the research behind what we're doing and where we're trying to go for the future. And when we think about the future, it's really honing us into where we've been, but where we should be going. And that's why the survey work is important with our community members, with our businesses, and having conversations with you guys, the consultants, the focus groups, to really see where are we going. We can have all these different ideas about where we should be going, but we might be three steps behind. And one of the examples is today I was having a meeting, we're talking about the fleet, okay, our buses out there, and thinking about, well, what does the next 5 to 10 years look like in our fleet? Because for anyone who's been around busing, we went from diesels to LP to back to diesels to gas. I mean, it's bop back and forth, right? Well, EV is going to show up somewhere. And it's moving. But if we don't plan or think ahead, then you might be looking backwards. And so it's kind of like what the things we've asked out like Leah is to do things that's going to help our kids have opportunities for work after high school. And so this strategic plan can help keep us focused on just that. But it's not just about, you know, what is our graduation rate? Are we achieving it? What is our student achievement rate? Are we achieving it? It's where are we going? Because that filter becomes important, because at that point in time, when we're starting to look at programs and other things, is how does it support the strategic plan that the board has set forth? And that's where
it seems like the weak point of this is the upfront stuff where they have the surveys and stuff like that. I mean, it's a survey and it fills a requirement, but I mean, it's not what I would say a scientific survey. So I still think you're going to get the choir telling you what they want instead of the people we probably need is why are the people that
children
dropped off.
And that's why the focus groups are important, because you actually go out and recruit.
Well,
members.
Well, that again.
Yeah, but you got the same.
It depends on who's recruiting and how you're recruiting them. You always have to have a balance.
Well, you do.
And we understand that when there isn't a balance, there becomes a skewed perception and says, this is the way Monroe wants to go. Even though Monroe votes this way, even though Monroe votes these people in, even though Monroe does that, we believe Monroe wants to go another way. But I would like to back up.
Okay.
Because I may have missed this, and sometimes I do, and sometimes I forget. When did we choose this?
We haven't. That's
so So last time we were here and we were talking about strategic plans, we were talking about options for different organizations for strategic plans. Two were brought in. Only one actually does strategic planning. The other one does surveys. So they were not apples to apples. They were not even, one did strictly surveys and the other one did a strategic, like you're explaining, with surveys. Now,
they're all going to do surveys, by the way.
Well,
they will all.
If we decide.
Respond. No. You won't decide that. You will do surveys. You cannot not engage your community in a strategic
plan. No one. Okay.
Please.
Okay.
You will definitely
so
have direction.
So let's look at what we've done in the past on strategic planning and say, if you're saying that this is how it's always been done and we must continue to do it the way it was already done, then I would say, okay, I can understand that. But if you're saying, no, you don't get a choice on how you play out your strategic plan. You don't get a choice on the organizations being used. You don't get a choice on who's engaged. You don't get a choice on anything. You must do this. Then what's the purpose of us sitting here? And so I lose that understanding.
It's the components that go into creating the strategic plan. That's
we understand that. We use Metro Bureau. So, for example, Metro Bureau created strategic plans. And I just remember sitting there when they did it. So we asked about that before and said, and I know I did, and said, okay, why did we move away from Metro Bureau? What did they not provide? What did they not give us? What was not good about what they did? Because if you say we want to build on something, why not build on what we already have? Why throw it all away and say, no, we're going to go here? I don't understand that.
So I'm going to ask Terry and Cindy to help me here, because it was my understanding that we didn't use Metro Bureau. Actually, it was the reverse, is that Metro Bureau used the strategic plan that was created at Monroe Public.
They did. That's true.
That Metro Bureau is not a strategic plan.
They're not.
A group that doesn't go out and do strategic plans. What they do is Metro Bureau, it provides services. And so if a school calls up and says, hey, I need help in writing my strategic plan, they're going to go, okay, well, I know where I can get you support. And so my understanding is that Monroe Public's plan was one at that time that was looked at and said, okay, well, this is a model you can use right here, and was used. That was my understanding.
It's like a professional organization like MASA.
Right.
Or MASA or that. But Metro Bureau is something that we decided as a team that we wanted to use their information. And
because they're a huge organization.
Well,
that
they
has
are,
a lot
but they.
Of stuff.
But it's like we had an investigation of an individual, and we went to Metro Bureau to help us find a vendor that could do that for us. That was totally, that would have been totally
third party.
Third party. Yeah, I mean they will put you in the right direction, but really and truly, Terry can attest to this also. We personally work on, and then Terry's part of this strategic plan is really huge, as is the funds, and then recruitment and human capital. We wrote those. I mean, Metro Bureau looked at it, and Melissa Baker is who it was.
Yeah, I know, because I remember I was sitting in the audience.
We pay a membership like we do anywhere else, but that we didn't go
like MASB. It really isn't much different.
Right.
Except they're lobbying.
Well, I think that the difference is this is a group of, they work with HR professionals to steer them in the right direction.
And the reason why I'm pushing and asking and would be recommending this group right here is looking at our history, where we've been at, and think about us being the 60th largest school district in the state, it's time to write a plan and bring in a group that can help move us into that level right
now. Why can't we have choices? That's what I don't understand, is why is it, I always feel like we're given one option. So it was either go with Hanover and their full package of strategic planning, which include the surveys, or go with the other organization that presented, which was strictly surveys. So my question becomes, I think it would be beneficial if it's a board decision that there's got to be a lot more companies out there that provide strategic planning. And they are, why not let three come in and present? And I think that's what we requested originally, was to have several come in and present. And then as a board, look at their packaging, look at what they offered, look how they did things, look at the cost, look at the time element, and say, which one of those best fit Monroe Public Schools? Not just, we found one, and I believe it fits, therefore. And that frustrates me.
If I can, I don't think Mr. Shaw is asking the board to make a decision at this time. I think he's providing some additional information on this particular company. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jamie. I don't think this is the agenda for the meeting.
But what it does is it slows the process down. Then if we would like to call in another organization to do a presentation so we have options, it's pulling down the ability to get a strategic plan done in a timely fashion, in a timely manner, which is my understanding is what this board wanted to do. And so it becomes another one of those, if we want to move forward, and in order to get this all involved, we now have one choice. And I don't like only having one choice.
Sure, no, I can appreciate that.
Thank you.
I wanted to make sure.
No, I was aware of
that.
Yes. Yes.
He wasn't asking.
No, but it's still.
My understanding
yes.
is that he wasn't asking, but I can certainly appreciate your perspective.
I'm good there, because at the end of the day, we do actually have. I can get the third one is MASB is MASB mm-hmm. is giving us a quote. I've got that number, and they come in and do a presentation.
Well, that would at least be two options.
Yep.
It's three.
But I'm back to...
Well, the other one only does surveys.
Yeah, that's kind of...
That one only does surveys.
We can dig out the
And
one.
It's a very bad survey at that
point. Yeah. So that one did surveys. So if the other two do surveys, then the third one... If you only want to do surveys, and you want to... That...
But the other thing is, and this is where I want to just bring it forward, is... The depth and breadth that this company has to do the digging into the things that I've been listening to for a year and a half. That's the distinct difference. MASB can't do this dig. If we went with MASB, they'll help us write the plan, do all that stuff. We're going to still bring in and go, okay, we're going to still have debates about should we pull this piece of data or should we use this data? What's this data? Should we do this? And that's where the strength of this company is getting into the student achievement, getting into our, it could be a graduation, and all these different markers about are we growing as a system or are we not?
Then pull in a comparable organization, because if we're pulling in an organization you believe to be superior to the one that you're using, then bring one in that equates it. If you think Hanover is a 5-star and you think MASB is a 3-star, then get us at least a 4 or 5-star in here. I mean, that's what I just heard. And so, you know, choices and options are always better than one. Because I see a lot of minds in this room that have a wealth of information that brings a background from so many different ways and so many different categories that I think as a group, choosing from options is much better than just going with the one we've been presented with.
And I guess something I'd like to ask, I mean, again, I don't think Hanover, once you get the assumptions out, i.e. from the survey, I think they're good at getting the information. Again, I really have a problem with your surveys and things like that. I mean, what I would like to find out is what does the single mother of three living in, I don't know, maybe some public housing, you know, how can we get her input? And they really haven't answered that question. Now, I mean, I can get all the PTAs, they'll all cooperate, they'll set up a focus group, they'll send in the surveys, they'll be real great. But how do I get that?
But that's where,
single mother and three,
if
that's working three jobs.
And you're saying I want to have a focus group that's designed this way, that's, if you want that mom, that's who we go out with, we go get that mom.
But that's why I want to know from them, how do they get that mom?
They don't. They don't have the relationship.
We can't. We can't.
To be honest.
We can't. We've tried that already. That's why we have a problem in Indy. That's why we have to have a strategic plan. If we could get all those people that are disassociated or disconnected with the community into our community and actively involved, we wouldn't have a problem. All the kids would come to school. The mothers would help them at night. The fathers would help them at night. They would be great. That's where I think that's where our strength.
If there was a Walgreens on every corner, we'd have it made.
There we go. But I mean, at the bottom line is, you know, we don't have that.
I will work to see if I can find who that company is that's similar to a Hanover. I don't know if there's one. I'll see what's out there.
Yeah, I was looking. It's not real clear. They don't make it easy to figure out what they do.
No, they don't.
They all have to, all businesses have to do a comparable analysis of who is their competition. And they have to recognize who their competition is in order to say how they stand out above and beyond the others. And so when typically you go looking through organizations, they provide that for you. You don't even have to ask them. You'll say, okay, who do you think you're...
No. I'm going to call Jason around.
They'll know.
Yeah. Well, I really just think the same.
And no one should be afraid of competition.
I have a hard time giving $100,000 to a person that I think that's false. That's just my opinion. And those that can show you how their assumptions are not faulty. That's my problem.
Okay. I appreciate that. All right, David, let's talk about the advisory committee.
Yeah, so I'd like to bring in a couple of our school nurses.
Hello.
Hi, Stephanie. Dr. Ray is here.
You're a nurse.
Would you introduce a member of your team?
Oh yes, this is Mary DeCork. She is one of the other RNs that joined last year at this time.
Yes. So we are HIV, AIDS. I guess the materials that we've been using are, number one, they were up for to be refreshed, and number two, we lost access to them with some turnover with the Monroe County Health Department. So we needed to select some new materials to get in the hands of our teachers and start using immediately, because there are certain requirements that we need to present to students every year. So we have a newly recently formed SEV committee, and run by Nurse Stephanie. She's been tasked with that, and she's done a really nice job along with Dr. Ray.
Nurse
Stephanie.
She's in Tira.
And what she did is she created some material for our lower grade levels and also selected a video from, let me see here. A video that was produced by the Redefine Positive video series from 2013. It was funded primarily by the Seattle Children's Hospital, and both of those resources were made available to you the past 2 weeks in board briefs, so we hope that you took a look at those. And the nurse team is here along with Dr. Ray to clear up or answer any questions that you have about these materials. They have gone in front of the public twice. We did have one participant who provided some positive feedback. We do have another public viewing tomorrow afternoon. And then it's our hope that these materials go in front of the board at the first March meeting for approval.
I wanted to ask, and I thought of this after the meeting, that if the video is no longer available, what's been being shown to students in the health classes from the start of this year to current? Because that requirement for HIV is a state requirement, it would have had to have been met. So if we don't have a video, what have we done for those students? I didn't understand that.
We still have, it was available last year. It was the health department's health educator, Jamie Ethor was her name, and she just recently left the health department.
In the last...
So those.
So you've had that video up until now, and that's what you've been showing this entire year up into current, because until this gets approved by the board, which is going to be another 2 weeks past today, what are the students?
We don't have it approved.
Yeah.
So nobody is getting HIV.
Not yet. That's why.
That's a problem.
That's why we're trying to get it approved tonight.
From our job description, as our job duty list as the nurses, HIV and AIDS education that we provide as the district medical team comes at the very tail end of the year.
I thought health was half a credit in the upper grades. You guys tell me that high school, ninth grade and up doesn't have to do health education, that's an elective? Chris told me that?
No. Eighth grade up, you have to have it.
Okay, it must have been 9th through 12th, and he was saying. Because remember he was talking about the amount of students that are in there, and I said, oh, I didn't know that.
So it's required in high school. We offer it as an eighth grade class for credit for high school to get it out of the way.
And if they don't take in eighth grade, they can take it later on
ninth,
up until graduation.
12, yeah.
And you only need half a credit of that.
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct, Darla. And it's part of the Michigan Merit Curriculum, so students have to take that course as part of their graduation requirements. So I think there's like different components that we might be thinking around, and correct me if I'm wrong. So the health class is one component of education for students. Another component is like last year how we approved the new growth and development videos. Like that's another component. And then there's the HIV courses that I believe the videos that you're wanting to have approved are attached to that part of how we educate children, not just through a health class.
So all students, regardless of grade level, have to get this every year?
Every year?
No.
One grade per building.
Stand corrected. Well, the HIV
stand
part,
corrected
you
four
get
times
one
and
time
in your
from 8th through 12th grade. But then we have to offer the other in each building once a year.
Offer it, but it's not a requirement.
It is required.
It is required.
It's required for these HIV videos to be watched every year.
Not every year. For us to meet our qualifications, we have to offer in every building once every year.
Offer.
So every grade is not getting it, or each student isn't getting it each year. They might watch it in fourth, or we're not doing the video, they might have the slideshow in fourth grade. And we say offer, but that's because there's always an opt-out. Yes. So when we use the term offer, I think that might be.
But there's also a requirement.
It's a requirement
for us
to
show it.
For us to provide that education.
Required
and
to
that.
Offer it.
Thank you.
But we say offer because we always give we have to give an opt out for any parents and guardians that do not feel that it's right for their child.
I always want to understand it. So if someone asked me, I don't
those
say.
Those are great questions, darling. It is confusing. And the state does not mandate which video we show.
Right.
Like as a district, we have the autonomy to choose what that is. And that is the purpose for the SEED committee viewing the video, approving the video, and then the public viewings of the video that have taken place.
Yeah.
And then it requires board approval.
Right. Thank you.
If that helps.
What's left of academic
freedom? I already watched it, so I got my requirement in.
Clear as mud.
I can give my take on the video. I think that it's a straightforward video. I think it explains it very clearly. I think it's got a bit of propaganda in it, but it's part of what it is. I don't think it's going to hurt anybody or harm anybody. But I think it sticks with the abstinence that is being taught within Monroe Public Schools, and I support the use of the main video. The other slideshow, I think it can be maybe a little over their head, I'm not quite sure. Some of the language, some of the word choices, I think may not translate to younger kids, but that is just word choices. But I do support the videos as a person on the committee sharing. I'm allowed to do that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we put you on the committee. You said you wanted to be there.
You didn't expect that, did you?
It mirrors the feedback you gave in the committee, so. Yeah.
At least I'm consistent.
Absolutely. Cindy, well, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'd say so. If there's any other questions of it, at our next board of it's on our next board of education meeting after maybe about 2 weeks for the materials to be approved. And so between now and then, if there is anything that comes about, please let us know. But at that meeting also, David will give one last update about the last meeting he has and an opportunity for parents to view that document too.
So the fourth grade, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade that's being proposed, that is brand new. Because HIV discussions were not had at the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade level, because if you look at the growth videos, they probably don't even have a clue at that point. Because the videos are very sublime. I'm looking at you, Terry, but... so that is something I want people to be aware of,
yes,
that. We have not taught HIV video presentations prior to this suggestion right now.
We did. We have. Mm-hmm. It is, that curriculum is no longer available.
So you did
provided.
Teach HIV videos, and they were shown at fourth and fifth, sixth grade level.
Last year was fifth grade.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it was fifth grade.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that, but fifth.
Thanks for the clarification.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd just
be
adding.
So the material is all, it's just not available. So the slideshow that was shown was just created by myself,
right,
utilizing the CDC and Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and just my knowledge.
And it's straightforward information.
Yeah,
it is.
It would be, you know, just presenting it to the younger. So, like, thank you for saying that some of the words may be a little more complicated. That would be when we would step in and we would be able to clarify those medical type of terms.
That was just my feedback. I couldn't give feedback at the committee very much, so. Or I did.
So thank you.
I don't hear any controversy here, and clearly they need these. Is this something we could move into the agenda and be done with?
Well, I mean, technically, yes, we can always do add to it, but we're trying to be very transparent, and so. If we were put into tonight's agenda, then it would appear like we're trying to slip something in. We don't want to do that. I mean, if you're good with it,
appreciate
I'm good. But
it's my last committee.
Thank you.
And the public viewing is, the third one is Thursday night.
Okay.
Or Thursday afternoon after tomorrow.
Too bad you couldn't post the video.
Got you.
You know.
It's available online. Honestly.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, you can pull it up. So.
People might watch it that way.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank
you
for
me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Thanks again.
Stephanie does a great job running
job.
The committee.
Oh, you.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
As always.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night,
Stephanie. And the last item we have on here was just to make you aware that a few weeks ago we had some small group work done with Andrea and Jamie in an area about school safety that we needed to do. And one thing that came out of it was from community members and some staff members just that are not having knowledge on Monroe Public Schools. So Jamie and I did some conversations on this and started talking with our executive board, the cabinet on this, and on March 21st from 6 to 7 o'clock, sorry, 6 to 8, thank you, will be the Monroe Public Schools This Is Us night out at Monroe High School. And what that will happen that evening will be everywhere from the board to the custodial to the social emotional to all the different relationships we have with different vendors out there. When I say different vendors, I'm talking about Family Medical Center to our HES, that's our canning.
Red Letter.
That's
they a big component of our school system now?
All these different, but a lot of everything that anyone that really does a lot of work, not necessarily the company themselves doing work, but it's more about what do we do. So we think in terms of when we bring people in and they do a tour, and we just had a parent that did a tour of our high school and sees all that we have to offer, from our middle college to the direct college classes to the CTE to our whatever pathway a child may want to have. And at the elementary level, even the same thing at the middle school level. So it's going to be about 65 different tables set up. And so one of the things I ask of you guys is that to please come that night. There will be a table for the board. What will happen though is you'll be, well, if you say yes, I'm going to take part, you're only going to be scheduled for a period of time because there'll only be two of you at the board sitting at that table. If you never want to make it appear that there's three of you together, there's a conversation, and that can just be the bad roads.
What was the date on that?
The 21st.
At what time?
6 to 8. We'll have set up at 5:30.
What we're trying to do is we wanted to get it in, and the reason we're trying to get this in is we're heading into kindergarten roundup season, where there's a lot of parents looking at what schools they want to go to others, just trying to get out and market what we're about. As students are finishing up 8th grades and some of our parochials, deciding, okay, we're going to go to Monroe High School, and what is it about? So all of our, so every single component of everything we do, basically if any, you pick a job description, they're going to be represented there that night, okay? And so you'll be at your, at the board table, and you might have, we may provide some documents you can always hand out, it's more just a talk, but then you're only going to be there for a moment of time, then you can just wander around and see what all Monroe Public Schools is about. And we're out there trying, letting everyone know about that. In 2 weeks, a week from this Friday, it'll go to the post office, so most likely that Saturday upon Monday, there'll be about, the flyer will be in everyone's hands, and it'll be in 20,000 different homes in our community right here. So it's designed specifically, though, for staff, for our parents, and our community members. It's not designed to be a student event, okay? Because this is more informational. What's that?
It's like a marketing.
It is.
Yeah.
It's, and hopefully we, it goes off very well to where this summer will actually move it to the fall, on or about that October, late October-ish, November time frame right there, so that people can really get a feel for, you know, what we're about. Because one of the things that we have committed to in, as a county, is you don't see billboards up in our county saying, pick us because we're the school of choice, right? Because we have the school of choice. We're the 1% cap on it. But what we also want to help do, though, is make it so that when people are trying to decide where to move into, they're coming here. So you better believe we'll have already been in touch with all the realtors in the area, and they will be invited to that evening. Okay, so we're trying to just make sure at City Hall yesterday and give them out their documents and said, please come and take part in this. So it should be a big night right there.
You do it in the gym or the cafeteria?
So you come into the commons area right there. There'll be some tables set up so people can basically quick registration. More so that we can kind of get a feel for, okay, was it a community member, a staff member, or a parent? All right, to know, okay, who came and visited with us that night. And then for our community members, it's really at that point in time, we'll have their first name, last name, and email address. So then they're going to start getting the weekend review. So that keeps them in tune to everything that's going on here at Monroe Public. So looking forward to that evening. And so if there's a, and Jamie will be pushing that out to you. So just respond that yes, you can be there. Now, if you can only be there for a specific amount of time, put that in the communication back to her. So that way she can make sure that you're at the table for that period. Okay. But we'll rotate board members around. But please, you know, get out there and mingle and talk. You know, it should be hopefully a big night there for us to get this out there. So staff members and parents all know what we have to offer throughout our whole system. So that's all I have for tonight, sir.
All right.
Wait.
Can I get, go ahead.
Pause, please. So if there wasn't a formal request, I'd like to make a formal request to bring in at least one more company, possibly two, for another presentation for strategic planning. So like,
yes.
We asked for like the to-do list, if you will.
Oh, okay.
So if we could add that to our to-do list for like a future board work session, that would be great. That's all.
Nope, I've already got it in my career.
I saw you write it down, so.
Okay, can we get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Support?
Support.
Okay. This meeting is adjourned. I'll see you guys at 7 in the boardroom.
You are tired today, Larry.
Oh, you have no idea.
I can tell. Read the face.
You always had a sickness call.